Okay, I should wait a minute. Okay, I'll wait 2 minutes till 10 o'clock. The Gemara has a machlekes hatanoim in Maseches Menachos. We have all the dinim regarding mezuzah, where the sukkah sachag b'chag, they put up a sukkah only for the duration of sukkahs, where the chayv be mezuzah. The din is that one is only chayv be mezuzah if you have a diras keva. If you have a room or a house that you rarely use, only a diras aroi, you're not chayv be mezuzah. So that's a machlekes hatanoim, whether the sukkah has to be al-pidin, has to be diras aroi, or b'davka has to be diras keva. 98% of all the sukkahs in the world are kosher, because according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, it is diras keva, and according to the way we paskan l'alacha, because it is diras aroi, the same sukkah. We hold that it's good because it's a diras aroi. Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's good because it's a diras keva. Then there's 1% of the sukkahs in the world that are really keva, l'choladeh, so then we paskan that that's possible. Has to be davka diras aroi. Then there's 1% of sukkahs in the world that are really diras aroi, l'chol ha'deis, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not yotzi with that. But 98% of all the sukkahs in the world are good, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it has to be diras keva, it is called diras keva, and according to the way we pass on Allah, it has to be diras aroi, it is diras aroi. So we pass on sukkahs, ha'chag b'chag, it's not chay b'mezuzah. Some people have a house where they have a room, one of the rooms in the house, which they use all year long, and then on Sukkot, they take off the roof and they put schach there. So that, you use that all year long. That's not Sukkot of Chag B'chag. That's a room, part of the house that you use all year long. So that is Chayiv and Mezuzah. In Shulchan Aruch, they say that people make a mistake. They think that on Sukkot, you don't need if you use it all year long, it's Chayiv and Mezuzah all year long, because Chayiv and Mezuzah on Sukkot as well. The Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Sukkah has a machlekes Rabbeinu and the Rabbanan. If you have the schach lemaila me'esra mama, that's very rare. Maila me'esra mama is very, even if you have a very high Sukkah, the odds are 100 to 1, 500 to 1, that it's not going to be 20 amas high. 20 amas high, then we paskin it's puzzle. So the Gemara gives three different reasons. So one of the reasons is that to construct the Sukkah, the schach is going to be more than 20 amas tall. That's going to be diras keva, and diras keva is possible. We paskin, it has to be diras aroi. Diras keva is no good, and that's the reason why the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Yehuda disagree. Rabbi Yehuda says l'malei asmama is good, because Rabbi Yehuda lishitas ahonza, the sukkah has to be diras keva. There's nothing wrong. So there's a Mishnah in the second parak in sukkah. What if you have a sukkah that's the schach of the sukkah is being supported, instead of attaching the sukkah to the ground, to the buildings, the sukkah is being supported by a bed. So is there anything wrong with that? So there's a machlekes hatanoim in the Mishnah. So whatever the reason should be, the Tana who holds that it's no good, it should be yochid v'rab malochik rab, whatever his reason is. And especially because one of the explanations in the Gemara is that if the sukkah is being supported by the asandach sukkos of the kari hamito, the sukkah is not constructed, not leaning on the wall, not leaning on the ground, being supported by a kli, by a bed. So that's diras haroi. So according to the Tana Rabbeuda, sukkah has to be diras keva. Diras haroi is no good. It's Rabbeuda is the one who said that it's no good. So the Gemara had one of the pshat, and that's Rabbeuda lishitos. So we shouldn't paskan like that. We paskan halacha that a sukkah is good if it's diras haroi. It has to be diras haroi. So if somech sukkos bekari amit, it should be good. So the Gemara has another suggestion, a different reason. Nothing to do Rabbeuda lishitosai. It's because of Mamid. What's Mamid? The din is that Tzchach has to have three conditions in order that it should be acceptable. Has to be something, Gidule Karka has to have grown from the ground. If you have, let's say, plastic or something, you're going to make plastic Tzchach, that's not Gidule Karka, it won't be kosher. Or let's say you're going to have metal, you're going to have strips of wood. Instead of having strips of wood, eights that grow from the ground, you're going to have strips of metal. So metal is not good in the karka. Metal is karka. Metal is ored from the ground, but it's not gidul, it doesn't grow from the ground. The din is that the schach has to be gidul karka, has to be tolush, has to be dov shein in mekabel tumah. So what happens if the schach itself is not dov ha mekabel tumah, but the thing that's supporting the schach, the thing that holds up the whole sukkah, is the kari hamita, I have a bed, and the bed is supporting the schach. So... So the other pshat in the Gemara, the first pshat in the Gemara was that it's no good because the diras haroi, and it goes like the Tana Rebuta. It is Rebuta. The diras haroi is no good. It has to be dafka diras keva. The other pshat in the Gemara is totally unrelated to diras keva diras haroi. It's that gzeira. That's the way the Ran interprets in the Gemara. If the dava hamamid is dava hamakabel tumah, so we made exera the rabbanon. You may by mistake use the kari hamito, the boards of the bed, as the schach. So we made exera the rabbanon not to be mamid b'schach pasul. Even if that's the pshat in the Mishnah, has nothing to do with diras haroi, diras keva, we really shouldn't pass on like that tani, because we usually have a klal yochid v'rab malochik kerab. So over here, there is one of the obscure rishonim. Paskans like that we paskan that mamid is no good. In Shulchan Aruch there's a stira. In one place in Shulchan Aruch paskans if your mamid b'schach posel is nothing wrong. The other place he says that it's no good. So the mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch say that mikra then we paskan that if your mamid b'schach posel it doesn't pose a problem. The whole thing is a chumit to be choshish for that minority shad, the minority opinion that you don't say over here ochet v'rab alocha kerabim for some unknown reason. And we make exeri, you shouldn't allow mamid b'schach posel. Whatever is not kosher for schach, make exeri the rabbanon, you shouldn't be allowed to be mamid either. So let's say sometimes you have to have the fanus also for the sukkah, but sometimes you have the schach being supported, let's say, by clotheslines. So the clotheslines are the schach posel min haTorah, the schach posel mid the rabbanon. So there's a machlekes in achreinim. What's the din if you hold from this chumra of mamid? You don't allow. A lot of people have this. You have a metal frame, and then you have boards, but the metal frame is holding up the schach on top, not the boards. The metal frame is holding up the schach on top, so the metal is pasal the schach min haTorah. So that's the case of mamid. The machlekes harishayim, machlekes hatanoim, and machlekes harishayim. And they recommend the Shulchan Aruch to lechatchila to be choshish for that opinion. What happens if you don't have, not that you have schach posel min haTorah, metal frames, let's say you have a clothesline, let's say some people have clothesline that's made from plastic. So plastic is not artificial material, it's synthetic, not artificial, it's synthetic material, that's not gedula karka, so that's posel leschachich bo min haTorah. So if that's supporting the schach, we would be machmel hatchila. Mikra din is really kosher. It's a chumra to avoid mamid. What happens if, let's say, the clothesline is hemp, very thick, like when you send a package, parcel post, so you tie it up. So a lot of times that stuff that you tie with is hemp. It grows from the bush. It's gedulei karka, but it's converted. It was made into string. So the Rambam interprets a Gemara at the end of the first perek in Sukkah that if you have some material that's gedulei karka, but you made it into string, when you look at it, it's nishtana. By looking at it, unless you know the history, you wouldn't know that it's gedulei karka. It doesn't look like it did originally when it grew from the ground. It looks totally different. So the Rambam interprets in the Gemara that's pasal midrabbanan. If you have gedulei karka shenishtana, it's pasal midrabbanan. So that's a machlekes and achrayim. What if the dov hamamid is chach pasal midrabbanan? It's not chach pasal midrabbanan. Or let's say, for example, I had a table. A table is a dov hamakabel tuma. It's a kli. And then the table broke, and now it's shiver kelim. So that's a din midrabbanan. That kelim hamakabel tuma is wooden. Kelim hamakabel tuma. So that's no good, Benatara. But Shivya Kalim is only Pasal Midrabbanan because of the Xeri. He may mistakenly think that he could even use a Kli Shalim that's not broken. And that's no good, Benatara, because it's Dov HaMekabel Tuma. So what if the thing supporting the Schach, I have the Tfanis around, but the thing supporting the Schach is not the Tfanis. The thing supporting the Schach is the clothesline, which is hemp, which is a Megiddur Lekarka Shenishtana. So that's a Machlekes Achrayim. And it's a steer in the Mishnah Brura. In one place, and they're both in Hilchas Sukkah. That's a problem. In the three volumes of the Kol Kisvei HaChafetz Chaim, so they have a whole, one of the sections is a biography of the Chafetz Chaim written by one of his sons. So he writes that the Mishnah Brura project was worked on by different members of the family, and his father, the Chafetz Chaim, was the general editor. He's the overseer of the whole project, but he didn't write the Mishnah Brura. Everything was written by other people. So he writes, that's why they're asterisks every so often. So he writes, there's a shaila, if the Gemara says, if a nochri does malocha for a Jew on Shabbos, you have to wait, b'chdei she'asu, to prevent people from asking amira l'nochri. A person's going to make it look like an accident that the nochri decided to do the malocha on his own. And really, he asked him to do the malacha. So to prevent wise guys from saying that the Nochri did it on his own, so he made a dimid rabbanon, even if it's true that the Nochri did it on his own, you have to wait b'chdei she'asu, after Shabbos is over, so you're not going to gain anything by asking the Nochri to do the malacha on Shabbos. So this will serve, this din the rabbanon will serve as a deterrent that people shouldn't violate Amir al Nochri. The Tanoim knew that Amir al Nochri is going to not be such a lucky din. The Jews always had a Shabbos goy. And most of the time, the Shabbos goy was b'isa. Most of the time, it's not allowed. That's one of the dinim that didn't have too much mazel. So the Tanoim knew from day number one, that din is not going to be too mazel thick, that the Jews are going to violate it all the time. So they wanted to strengthen the din of Amir and Anokhi, so they made different things, and it still didn't help. With all the precaution, it still didn't help. So one of the dinim, that's how Tesla learned. So one of the dinim was that to be mechazek amir nochri, said even if it's true that the nochri did the malocha on his own, you're not allowed to be nene on Shabbos until mitzvah Shabbos bechdei she'asim. So that's how Tosis learns. But Tosis learns if a Jew does malocha on Shabbos, then you don't have to wait b'isur, you don't have to wait bechdei she'asim. And Rashi doesn't agree. Rashi holds that you're not allowed to get hanoah from malocha on Shabbos, not to be mechazek amir nochri. Even if a Jew does malach on Shabbos, you also have to wait b'chdei she'asa mitzvah Shabbos. So the son of the Chafetz Chaim points out that on this issue, there's a steer in the Mishnah Berurah, because it says, I wrote that section, my uncle wrote the other section, he paskin like Rashi, and I paskin like Tosfos, and his father didn't catch it. The Chafetz Chaim read everything over, and he didn't realize that there's a steer. Rather, steer is also, there's a steer regarding Tekir Shofar mitzvah Yom Kippur. In the Mishnah Brura, in Hilchos Yom Kippur, it says that what happens if we finish Ne'ilah Doomsday, way after Tzeisa Kacham. Well, what if the Shul finished Ne'ilah and it's after the Shkia, but it's Bein Hashmashes? So you're not allowed to blow Shofar on Yom Kippur. But it's only Midrabbanan. the blow shofar is only an issa de rabbanon. So would you say that over here? That's a machlekes hatanoim, and that's how we pass. Whatever is only an isa derabbanan kal, the isurim derabbanan divided into two categories. There's an isa derabbanan kal, an isa derabbanan chomer. That's what Tosfos points out. That's accepted, quoted in Shulchan Aruch. If any Gemara is like that, so can we consider tkiyah shayfer an isa derabbanan kal? So b'makam mitzvah we would be mekal ben hashmashes. The Mishnah Berurah in Hilchas Yom Kippur says that even if they finished Ne'ila and Shul during Bein Hashmash, not yet Tzeisa Kachavim, so in America, everybody knows, once you blow shofar, everybody can eat. Everybody can go home and do all the malachas. They're not a smart idea that you should blow shofar and it's still Bein Hashmash. But the Mishnah Berurah somehow, they didn't have that attitude in Poland, where he lived. So he says that you're permitted to blow shofar Bein Hashmash, because only the Rabban and Kal, and it's a makam mitzvah, some kind of a minik for some reason or another. Three different explanations given by the Rishonim. Why you blow shofar on Mitzvah Yom Kippur? So in Hilchas Yom Kippur, whoever wrote the Mishnah Berurah writes that it's mutter to blow shofar on Bein Hashmashes because Mishul Mitzvah is mutter. And then in Hilchas Shabbos, when they talk about that din, it's a separate siman in Shulchan Aruch. Kol Dovah Shem Mishim Shvusa, Gozor Bein Hashmashes. So there's a machlokes between the Magen Avraham and the Eben HaOzer. That's a commentary on the side. Does this din only apply to the first Bein Hashmashes of Friday evening, or does it even apply to the Bein Hashmashes of Mitzvah Shabbos? Why should there be a difference? Because Friday, the whole day is Becheskas Heter. So Bein Hashmashes is really Becheskas Heter. Ashenikin Bein Hashmashes of Mitzvah Shabbos, the whole day Shabbos was Becheskas Iser. So Bein Hashmash is a suffix, so it should really be Bechaz Kasisa. It's a pella. What do you mean Bechaz Kasisa? Every minute there's a separate, this is a Matei Ephraim, and this is a Mishnah Berurah. What does this got to do with this? What does 1 minute have to do with the next minute? The whole day of Shabbos is Bechaz Kasisa. What does it have to do with the next period of time Bein Hashmash is? Bein Hashmash wasn't Bechaz Kasisa anything. So somehow, there's some kind of a question here. What is the concept of time? If the second minute, if the minute following the first minute is the Hemshech of the first minute, or it's a different minute. I don't understand. It's a machloikis in the Mer and the Vuchim. The Rambam has a machloikis with the Muslim, with the Arab philosophers about the nature of time. Whether it's such a thing, whether the next minute is the Hemshech of the previous minute, is there a chazoka or not? I don't understand what that means. How can it be a chazoka? But that's what the Mishnah Berurah paskens there. That Kol Dovah Shem Mishum Shvus L'Gozo L'Bein Hashmash only applies on Leil Shabbos. But on Mitzoy Shabbos, on Mitzoy Yantra, the Heta doesn't apply. So it's a steer in the Mishnah Berurah between what whoever wrote the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchas Shabbos wrote L'Chumra, and whoever wrote the Mishnah Berurah over here wrote L'Kulam. It's interesting. Under the communist government for many years, the communists were ruling in Russia. So they confiscated many of the Lubavitcher Svarim from the Lubavitcher libraries, a few libraries in Europe. And after communism collapsed in the late 1900s, so the Lubavitcher kept on sending letters to the Russian government, could they please give them back all the Svarim that were borrowed from their libraries in Europe. So after many requests, they gave them back a lot of Svarim, and by mistake, they gave them back something that never belonged to them. They have at 770 Eastern Parkway, they have the original handwritten manuscript that was of the Mishnah Berurah that never belonged to Lubavitch, that was given to the typesetter that he should print the Mishnah Berurah. So the people who saw it say that it's written in different handwritings. And they know which one is the Chafetz Chaim. It's written in different handwritings in different color ink. The different people who wrote the different parts of the Mishnah Berurah wrote it in different handwritings and in different inks. And they know that every so often there's a Bir Halacha. And the Chofetz Chaim would add on, at the end of a long Bir Halach, he would add on another quotation from another Sefer Shadus and Shuvas to be Machriya. But most of the Mishnah Berurah was not written by the Chofetz Chaim. Very little was written by him. So there are stiras all over. Here it's a problem. This is a stira two pages apart from each other, both in Hilchas Sukkah, whether you say you don't have a right to make a gzeira l'gzeira. But here the two gzeiras. If you have no right to make a gzera, if your whole concern is you're afraid people are going to violate a din de rabbanon. Here you have two different gzeras. They made a din, let's say, that shivrei kelim cannot be used for schach. According to the Rambam, gidul lekaka shenishtana. Let's say you have slats of wood and you painted them a different color. So that's also in Bava Kamma. It says that if you paint a table, Gadim steals the table and he paints it, so that's considered shina shina kaina. That's what some poskim say. If you have painted the shari tshuva next to the beheta, quotes that if you painted the wooden schach, according to the Rambam, it could well be that this is nishtana and it's pasul mid the rabbanon. So this was agzera the rabbanon otu adin deraisa. They said, if you paint the schach, it doesn't look like a gedule karka anymore. It's nishtana. So that's a chumra mid the rabbanon. That was nigzah because he may use non-gedule karka. They made it din the rabbanon shivre kelim can't be used because people by mistake may think that kelim can also be used. That was one din the rabbanon. And then the whole din of mamid is only a din mid the rabbanon. But it's not that they made a din the rabbanon to prevent people from violating the other din the rabbanon. The two din of the rabbanon were made independently of each other. It happens to be the two combined together. You want to use a psach posel mid the rabbanon as the mamid on the schach kosher. So that's a machlokes achronim, and that's a stira in the Mishnah Berurah, both within Hilchas Sukkah. That is a problem. Usually we have a din. So on this din of Mamid, so the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham, who says that the way we solve the problem is the following. Let's say you have a betel frame, and you have wooden funnels, but the metal frame is going to hold the schach. So that's your mamid b'schach posel, because metal is not gedule karka. Metal is karka mamish. So that's no good benater. So that's mamid. So mikra din is really kosher. The whole thing we're talking about is a chumra. So the Magen Avraham has a kula, and he said this is a common practice. If you have the four metal bars, so you take a beam of wood to cover this metal bar. You take four beams of wood to cover the four metal bars, and then you put the schach on top of that. So that's mamid de mamid. And there's a Ramban and Mochamas in Sukkah, the mamid de mamid is kosher. It only goes there if you're directly doing mamid. If you're doing mamid de mamid, that doesn't pass. Exer de Rabbanon doesn't go so far. So the Chazanish is famous. Chazanish says, that's a joke. That's not mamid de mamid. Let's say you have a lot of twigs. You're using evergreen. You're using a lot of twigs, branches, the schach. Let's say you have a foot of schach. So say it's mamid the mamid. The bottom 6 inches are supporting the upper 6 inches. So the upper, there's enough tzilosim ruben bechamosa in the upper 6 inches. You have 12 inches thick of schach. So it'll be kosher. We'll call the bottom 6 inches mamid, and that's holding up the top, the metal frame is holding up the bottom 6 inches, which in turn are holding up the top 6 inches. So that's not mamid the mamid, that's all schach. All the schach, you can't divide the schach in half. So what kind of a stunt are you saying? Oh, hey, you put four wooden beams on top of the four metal bars that are holding up all the schach. Then you put the schach on top of the wooden beams. The wooden beams, it's all the schach, it's all schach. It's not mamid the mamid, it's all of it is schach. So all of the schach, the beams, with the twigs, with everything, with the branches, everything is resting on the metal beams. That's what the Chazanishtein is. That's not called Mamid the Mamid. The Ramban's Mamid the Mamid is talking about a different thing. If you have a floor, let's say the floor is Dora Makabal Tuma. The floor is a table. I made a sukkah on top of a wagon. I made a sukkah on top of a table, let's say. So the floor of the sukkah is a big table. So that's Dora Makabal Tuma. So the floor is holding up the Tfanis, and the Tfanis is holding up the Schach. So that's Mamid the Mamid. Okay. But if you have wooden beams on top of the metal bars, then you put the branches or the twigs on top of that, the wooden beams with all the branches, the whole thing is all solid schach. You can't divide it in half, say that's mamid de mamid. Chazanish is right, al pi pashtas. But the whole thing, the whole meduber is a chumrah. The whole thing, meikar adin, we shouldn't paskin like that tana. We don't understand why there was a rishon who did paskin like that tana. Pashta says that the Tana is Rabbi Yehuda l'shitosa, that he holds that the sukkah has to be diras keva, and if it's being supported by kari amito, it's being supported by the bed, it's a diras haroisa. That's why it's no good. And even if you learn that that's not the pshat, the Gemara gave another pshat, so whatever he said, it's a shitas hayochid, Yochet v'ram, Malachim Ram shouldn't paskel like that. So the whole thing is a chumra to begin with. So the minig olam always was lahok. But now in our generation, so a lot of people have a lot of money, so they want to be machmer for the chazanish. The people have that's what you call a chazanish sukkah. But the chazanish insists that you have to have a wooden frame. If you have a metal frame that's holding up the schach, there's no way to make that into mamid the mamid. So people spend a fortune to have, in addition to the metal frame that holds up the sukkah, they're going to have a wooden frame to hold up the schach, that the schach shouldn't be supported by the metal frame. But the Chazon Ish himself, every time, when he writes about it, he writes, we're talking about a chumrah. Mikra din, it's really kosher, even if it is mamid. Talking about a chumrah, how far you have to go with the chumrah. I remember the building next to mine, 44 Bennett, so a lot of Jews lived there. So there was one sukkah about 15 years ago that all of the people went to their children. Now, hardly anybody was eating in the sukkah. So they have a gigantic sukkah there, but they didn't need the whole sukkah. Hardly anybody was remaining behind. So they only put schach in the middle of the sukkah, and the outskirts of the sukkah, you have to have walls for a sukkah. So the walls were over there, and the schach was only in the middle. That's no good ben atara. The schach has to be within 3 tefachim to the walls. So if you don't need the whole, let's say this is the sukkah. So you have, the din is you need 3 walls. So the din is, shtayim kol chosam ashlish afil tefach. You have 2 walls L-shaped. And then the 3rd wall, you don't have to have it all the way. Let's say you have 3 walls. But if you're going to have only put schach in the middle, over here, that's more than enough for all the people who are going to eat. But the schach begins over here. It's more than 3 tefachim of empty space to the walls. So the tefanas are not mitzurif to the sukkah. That's no good ben atara. The schach has to be close to the walls, within 3 tefachim, touching the walls. It doesn't have to be within 3 tefachim like this. Let's say the tefanas are, this is a doifen, and the schach is up here, and it's more than 3 tefachim in between. So that the Gemara says, I say, good asik mechitza. I visualize it if the mechitza goes up. If the mechitza has 10 tefachim, so I visualize if it's oile, as if it bumps into the schach on top. But if it's over here, not that it's more than 3 tefachim up here, it's more than 3 tefachim away over here. So if it would be within 3 tefachim, you can say love it. So it's considered as if it's contiguous, if it's touching the tefanas. But it's more than 3 tefachim away, then it's no good. The Mishnah has a halacha l'moshe m'sinai, it's called doifen akuma. If you would have schach pasul over here, if you would have metal over here, schach pasul, so then, up until Dalaramis would be good. The schach over here would be mitzurif to that wall. A lot of times you don't need that wall. Let's say there's a landing above. Sometimes you build the sukkah on a fire escape, or you build the sukkah downstairs, and part of the sukkah is below a roof that's protruding. So the roof that's protruding is made from cement. So that's not good. That's karka. That's not gedula karka. That's karka. Sand. So the schach, the different opinions in the Rishonim. What if you have a sukkah shetachas agag? What if the schach came first, then you put the gag later on? So the different opinions. So we pask in the Shulchan Aruch and Machmer, whether the roof came first or the schach came first doesn't make a difference. Whenever you have schach kosher and you have schach pasul, you have a fire escape that's all made from metal, or you have protruding, you have cement sticking out. So whether the cement came first or the schach came first, if the two are both giving shade to the same area, so this becomes schach pasul. It's not considered kosher. So this schach pasul, if it's less than dalar amis into the sukkah, so then the schach over here will be mitztaref to the wall over here. Well, that's what called doifen akuma. I visualize as if the wall bends in, even though this is chach, I visualize as if it's an extension of the wall. So that's a din of doifen akuma. It only works up until dalet amas. So you have to come on to doifen akuma. A lot of times people have a roof that they, when it's raining, so they lower the roof to cover the schach, so the sukkah won't get sopping wet. So then when they pull up the roof, so then you can sit under the schach. But a lot of times when you pull up the roof, it's leaning in a little bit. Let's say, my sukkah is over here. Instead of the roof being like this, straight up in the air, the roof is leaning over a little bit. So leaning over, so you can't sit the first couple of inches, and sometimes the first couple of feet in the sukkah. So you have to check, you have to make sure in the daytime when you can see how far in is the roof leaning. And if the roof is schach puzzle, the roof is schach puzzle, then the schach that's kosher underneath it is no good. So it's only good up until the Dalet Amos. What they usually do if you have such a sukkah that the first feet are posel eschach, so they have the women sit over there. Women are not mechayiv in sukkah. But a lot of the women say the bracha leishe basukkah. So if they can't say a bracha leishe basukkah, if they're sitting in that part of the sukkah that's posel, it's not fair. If you have to tell the women that they're sitting in the part of the sukkah that's posel, they may not be happy about that. Also, there's a machlokes hatanan. We paskin that the defanas have to reach within 3 tefachim to the ground. If it's mechitza tluya, it's suspended in the air, we paskin it's no good for Shabbos and it's no good for Sukkah. There were opinions in the Tanoim that distinguish in either direction. Some say Shabbos is mochama, some say Sukkah is mochama. We paskin they're both not acceptable. If the defanas don't reach within 3 tefachim to the ground, that's not acceptable. But if the defanas a 10 tefachim tall, and then the schach is directly above, even though it doesn't reach, even though it's way more than 3 tefachim, you can't say labud, but that's it then, and you say good asik mechitza. You visualize as if the mechitza is oile, and it bumps into the schach on top. But if the schach is on the side, the schach is over here, you don't say you visualize as if it goes up in the air, and this is labud to where this imaginary line is. There is no such din. There's no din of labud to the imaginary line. Let's say the schach only goes up so high, and the defanas only goes so high, and the schach is over here, and the distance between the top of the defanas and the schach is more than 3 tefachim. But if you would visualize as if this goes up, then the distance would be less. It would be within 3 tefachim. But that's not acceptable. There's no din of lavut. You don't draw a line lavut to an imaginary line that it would have gone up. You only say lavut to what's actually there. That is a lot of times a problem. If you go to Eretz Yisrael and you eat one of the ritzy hotels, you better check to make sure that the sukkah is kosher. A lot of the sukkahs in the hotels are posel. I remember I once asked Reb Simcha Cook, there was a certain hotel, and I asked him, the mashgichim, the rabbanut, did they check on the sukkah whether it's good? He said, oh, it's a question if they check on the kashas. The sukkah, a lot of times they don't. They don't check. They rely on whoever. And whoever doesn't know the dinim. Not so partial. There's a mishnah that lechatchila, you shouldn't put too much schach. You should have little holes in the schach so you should be able to see the stars. But however, that doesn't puzzle. Just because you can't see the start doesn't puzzle. However, Tosis has a chiddush. It doesn't really say the Beferish in the Gemara. The Balei HaTosis were mechadish this, that if you have, let's say you have a solid board, a wooden board, and it can't rain through. So Tosis thinks that that's no good menater. That's basil shalkala shanakula. If it doesn't rain in, that's not acceptable menater. So a lot of times you have so much schach, you have such heavy schach, it's just not going to rain through. So Tosfos thinks that that's no good benatur. The Mishnah says if it rains on Sukkot, is a siman ra, is like an eved served his master a drink, and he asked the master to take the drink, and he threw it in the face of the eved. So we want to sit in Sukkot. The Rebbe Shlom throws the water into the Sukkot, and he makes it, it's mitzdar patim and asukah, and you're not yaitze. So the Mefarshim and the Mishnah say that's only in Eretz Yisrael, where this season of the year it's irregular, it's not normal that it should rain. In Eretz Yisrael, they don't say Masha Baruch, they don't say V'sein Talamotar. We don't say it either, but it doesn't make sense why we don't say it. We don't have such a thing as a dry season when it doesn't rain. It's the Rosh lived in Spain, and he raised the issue. And he was outvoted. He said, it doesn't make sense why we don't say the same Talamata all winter long. By us, it rains. We don't have any dry season. And Eretz Yisrael, there's a dry season. In fact, Rav Soloveitchik said that his grandfather, Rav Chaim's practice was And that was his practice also, Rabbi Soloveitchik's practice, that all winter, all summer season, when officially, from Pesach until Shmini Atzeres, we don't say the same Talamotar, we don't say Mashu Baruch, we don't say the same Talamotar. So his practice, where observation's practice would be, he would say, why would Atol, just in case he's supposed to say Mashu Baruch, and he would say the same Talamotar Lebracha and Shma Koleinu. Because the din is, if you forgot to say it in Baruch Aleinu, then you can, if you remember in Shma Koleinu, you it's. Because really, it's a strong taina. We should go according to our country. Our country, it rains all the time. We don't have any dry season. So that's a pella. A prime's practice, well, he would do like that. He would say the same talamotar all winter long, all summer long, in Baruch Aleinu.
In Shmak Aleinu.
Baruch Aleinu and Shulchan Aruch said you don't say the same Talamata. But he thought that it was difficult, like the Rosh. He would say in Shmak Aleinu. There is a Mishnah and Daf Tesem and Aleph. The Mishnah quotes a Machlekes B'Sham and B'Sil. Is there a need to place the Schach Lishma? So B'Sham, I rub the opinion that if you didn't put the Schach Lishma, the Sukkah is not kosher. We don't paskin like B'Sham, right? We paskin Sukkah's Gambach Rakfash is good, even if a goy. Sukkah's goy. If a goy put the schach, a goy by definition can't do the Shema. Whoever doesn't have that mitzvah can't create the Shema. A woman also, the Rabbi, the Tam Shita is, a woman cannot tie tzitzis because women are not mechuyev in the mitzvah of tzitzis. And the Rabbi, the Tam said, because it's a mitzvah, says Hashem's Magrama, Laila, Ksus Laila is butter. So the Gemara says, called the mitzvah, says Hashem's Magrama. So the Rabbein Tam holds that to tie, that's a machloik, Rabbein Tam holds that to tie the chutim onto the beged, you have to have kshira lishma. And women who are not mechuyev in the mitzvah cannot create lishma. The mazel is that the women are mechuyev in matzah, even though it's also as mangroma, because throughout all the centuries, the women used to bake the matzahs. So if the women would have been potter from the mitzvah matzah, they wouldn't be able to bake the matzahs, according to Rabbein Tam. So the Gemara says, what about a sukkah that was constructed by a woman? Is that good or not? So the Gemara says, yeah, it's good because we pass them like Basila, that you don't need Hanachas Aschach Lishma. Every year I tell over the story. We used to live in the Bronx when I was single. My parents lived in the Bronx near a conservative temple on the Grand Concourse. So the old rabbi in the temple was a European. He knew how to talk Yiddish. And he was a nice guy. He wasn't a conservative rabbi Bishita. He got a job for Panos. He's a nice fella. He used to give a lot of tzedakah. He used to give a lot of money from the shul for tzedakah. And then they retired the rabbi, and they hired a new whippersnapper, Musmach from the Jewish Theological Seminary, who was really a conservative rabbi, the Hashkofa. So the chazan wasn't happy with the new rabbi. So Shaila came up. So he came to my father to ask the Shaila. What happened was, in the conservative temple, the chazan says kiddush in the shul on the night of Sukkot. In the sukkah. They built the sukkah on the bima, in the shul, under the roof. And he says, Kiddush in the sukkah. Leishe basukkah. Says, Baruch, Leishe basukkah, in the Kiddush. So what happened was, the whole sukkah collapsed, and the goy put it together again on Yontif. So the chazan thought that if a goy puts up a schach, it's no good. So he wanted to get my father to say that the sukkah is puzzle. And he's going to go tell all the people that the new rabbi doesn't know how to learn. He's a shegetz, he doesn't know. So he's calling, telling my father the shadus. So my father says, where is the sukkah? He says, it's in the shul. So he says, it's no good anyway. So he says, well, let's ignore that. Let's forget about that. What about the fact that it was put up by the goy? My father said, no, that's okay. That's not enough. We pass him like this hillel. But even though the schach was put up, shalot ha-shma, that sukkah's gambach rakvash. One brisa has gambach, one brisa says rakvash, is Rosh Tevis of eight different sukkahs that are kosher, even though the schach was not put up lishma. The Mishnah Berurah quotes an opinion. It's questionable why he quoted this. He quotes an opinion from the Rashba on Beitza. I think on Daf Lamed, the Rashba has a chiddush. The Reed Mesilla also agree that sometimes you have to place the schach lishma. When is that? There's a din of huktan and mitzvah. if you constructed a sukkah and you didn't sit in the sukkah yet, then we say, Hazman Allah, Milsahi, it's not yet hooked to the mitzvah. But if you constructed the sukkah and you sat in the sukkah, then it becomes hooked to the mitzvah, then you're not allowed to use it for your own purposes. So the Rashbo interprets in the Gemara that that's, according to Beis Hillel, it's only hooked to the mitzvah if you sat in the sukkah, otherwise it would just be Hazman Allah Milsahi. And also, if the schach was put up, the shema. There are two kinds of sukkah. They're both kosher. There's a sukkah with huktan, with kedusha, chal shem shamayim ala sukkah. If the schach was put up, the shema, then there's a sukkah that doesn't have a huktan and mitzvah. It's not, no kedusha. There's a secular sukkah, and there's a holy sukkah. So the sukkah that was put up, the shema, they still also agree. You have to put it up, the shema, if you want it to become huktan and mitzvah. Interesting sheet. So the Mishnah Berurah quoted that it'll only be hooked to the mitzvah if he put up the shema. It's very questionable whether he should really accept that Rashba. Highly questionable. But the Mishnah Berurah quoted it. The Gemara talks about hanging fancy decorations in the sukkah, noye sukkah. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that not only is it a general din by all mitzvahs that zekele b'anveu. The word anveu has different levels of interpretation. So one of the interpretations is noye mitzvah, noye zekedim anveu. It's not the fun of a mitzvah. Whenever you have a mitzvah, you should have it fancy. It should be a nice pair of tefillin, it should be a nice talis, it should be a nice tefillin zekel, it should be a nice handwriting, a sefer Torah, a nice mentala, and so on. So by sukkah also, noye sukkah is a hidur mitzvah, but Rav Soloveitchik pointed out it's more than that. That in the sukkah, there's a din of teshuva kein taduru. So just like at home, you have fancy photographs or paintings hanging on the walls, or you have other tchotchkes hanging some in the ceiling, you have a chandelier, or whatever you hang on the chandelier. So too in the sukkah, you have to have hang up nice things to enhance the mitzvah of teshuva kein taduru. So it's a double kiyum. It's the general mitzvah of hidur mitzvah, and it's an enhancement of the teshuva kein tadur. I remember years ago, my parents used to live in Borough Park. After I got married, they moved to Borough Park. So once on Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, we visited by my parents. So we were walking around just in the neighborhood to see all the different sukkahs. So there was one gigantic Hasidish sukkah there, one Hasidish Rebbe. The whole sukkah was a puzzle. There was noye sukkah hanging all over. And the Gemara says this, noye sukkah has to be within 4 tfachim to the ceiling. If it hangs down lower, you can't sit under that. So usually you have a little noye sukkah, you can sit all the other place. Here the whole sukkah was solid. I haven't been there in over 50 years. That was over 50 years ago I saw that sukkah. Maybe by now they discovered the din. You're not allowed to have it. No, your sukkah hanging down so low. Then the Gemara has a din of Tasu Elohim and Hosui. The Pasuk says, Chag HaSukkos Tasu Elohim Shivas Yomim Bas B'chom Migor Nechom Yikvecha. So the simple translation of the words of the Pasuk, Pshutu Shal Mikro, are Chag HaSukkos Tasu Elohim should celebrate the holiday, the festival of Sukkot, Shivas Yama, for a duration of 7 days, and that season of the year, the ingathering season, when it's going to start to rain. After Sukkot, and Eretz Yisrael starts to rain, Zayin Cheshvan starts saying the Saint Talamatar. So you should celebrate the holiday of Sukkot for a duration of 7 days, and that season of the year, the ingathering season. So the Gemara says the Torah Shebaal Peh has an additional level of interpretation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Achaz Dibar Lakim, Shtaim Zu Shamati, a Pasuk in Tehillim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the text of one Pasuk, and it has more than one level of interpretation. And in Amikri Yetzimidei Pshut, the Pshutu Shal Mikra is binding, and the drushes, the additional levels of interpretation of Torah Shabbat Peh, are also binding. So the Gemara says, leave out the word chag for a moment. So you read the pasuk, we'll get back to it. Not going to leave it out. Sukkah starts alecha goes on asiyas asukkah. You have to construct the sukkah. It should be tasav lemen ha'asui. We'll give some examples. Shivas yom, and the sukkah has to be sturdy enough to last for 7 days. Let's say you put up a sukkah and it's wobbly, and it's going to collapse within 7 days, but it'll last for one night. So can you be yotze in the mitzvah the first night of Sukkot with a sukkah that you know is not going to last, it's not sturdy enough to last for 7 days? Gemara says no good, as we sukkah ruil chol shiva. And then the words ba'as b'chom megarnacham yikvech, according to this pshat, that you're talking about constructing the sukkah. So bir is the base hakeli, like you say, ani kosev be'et, ani kotev be'et, I'm writing with a pen. You don't say, I'm writing in a pen. Like, ki b'yom ha'aseh chaper aleichem. How do you translate? Ki b'yom ha'aseh chaper aleichem tareschem. He said it many times today in the davening. So the pasha pshat, on this day, ki b'yom ha'aseh chaper aleichem. The Gemara understands, no, ki b'yom al yedei ha'yom ha'aseh. That's what the Rishonim call the Beis HaKeli. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will use the Kedusha Sam, Itzulu Shal Yom is mechaper. Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYikayim, the Karbonos wa mechaper. Bizman HaZeh, the day itself is mechaper. What does that mean? So you have to spend some time before Yom Kippur to figure out what that is. B'yom HaZeh. So here also, Ba'as B'chom Megonachom Yikvecha doesn't mean that that's this season of the year, according to this pshat. It means you should construct the sukkah, sukkah's tasalacha, the sukkah's nikral shem haschach. So the schach should be Ba'as B'chom Megonachom Yikvecha from the pseldas garen v'yaka. It has to be something that grew from the ground, that was detached, and it's not mekabel tumah. So when you rip off all the dates and all the figs and all of the grapes, you just left with the gedule karka, tolush and dobesheni mekabel tuma. If it still has, it's not psodas garnaliyak. If it's the grapes or the figs or the dates, then it's dobesheni mekabel tuma. That's no good. The din is oichem arolim mekabel tuma if they're huchshel mekabel tuma. If they were never rinsed off, we wanted to zay mashkim and they're not mekabel tuma. Here by schach, that's a machlokes achrenim. If you have oichel that was not huchshel the kabel tume, is it only pasul the sachich bami the rabbanon, or is it pasul manater? So that's an interesting question, whether that should be pasul manater or pasul the rabbanon. But it's pasul, that's for sure. Oichel that was not huchshel is still pasul the sachich bami. Many hold that is pasul manater. So the din of tasev so. The din of Tasel Lomonosa is based on that pasuk. Sukkah's Tasel Lecha, you have to have an Asiyah. An Asiyah is on the Schach, not so much on the Tfanis. So what's an example of Tasel Lomonosa? So to give an example, I have a haystack, and someone climbs in the bottom of the haystack, and he picks out a cavity inside the hay. So you have hay on top and hay on all four sides. So you have four Tfanis of hay, and you have Schach of hay. So it's a kosher Sukkah. But the sukkah was made tasa lemon also. You didn't put the schach on top to make shade. There was a haystack, and then you picked out the cavity. So memela, the schach that you didn't take away is there on the top. So you never did an asiyah on the schach. So that's considered tasa lemon also. That's no good in our Torah. That's tasa lemon also. Yeah. So we gave the additional level of interpretation in the pasuk chag asukas tasa lecha, but we left out the word chag. So how do you deal with that? But it says chag. Chag means a holiday. So the Gemara says, strictly speaking, the word chag really means a korban chagiga. On Shalosh Shagolim, there's an obligation that's a tesept in the first perek in chagiga, and it's quoted in the Gemara chagiga in the first perek. Gimel mitzvahs and destava yisrael v'aliyosam laregel. When the Jewish people come to be'er laregel to Yerushalayim on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, they're obligated to fulfill three mitzvahs and korbanos. One is Oilas Riya, the men have to be Yeroh Kol Zchurcha, the women don't have to. The men who come to be Oilas Regal have to bring an Oilas Riya, then they have to bring a Shalmi Chagiga, that's Chag, Chag Asukas Tasalacha. It's called a Chag, a Yontav on which you bring a Korban Chagiga is called a Chag. Shemini Atzeres, there's no Serpuchiyav to bring a Korban Chagiga. That's why in Shulchan Aruch, the assumption is that the davening should be in Biblical Hebrew, and Shemini Atzeres is never called a Chag. It's atzeres achagazeh. It's atzeres of sukkahs. Sukkahs is a chag, but shmini atzeres, strictly speaking, is not a chag. In modern Hebrew, you call chag purim. Or you call Chanukah chag ha'orim, the holiday of the lights. But in biblical Hebrew, it's only called a chag if it's a holiday when you're obligated to bring a shalmi chagiga. So shmini atzeres is no shalmi chagiga. Chanukah and purim is no shalmi chagiga either. So the Gemara says on their pasuk, this the additional level of interpretation in the pasuk. Sukkah Talzalacha goes on constructing the sukkah, and why is it called a chag? The sukkah is hukash lekor b'chagiga. Kishem shachal shem shamayim ala chagiga, kal chal shem shamayim ala sukkah. Just like a korban chagiga has a din me'ila. It's kachim kalim. You're not allowed to be moil. There's no me'ila in kachim kalim b'diyevet. If you were nenem in a hegdash by kachim kalim, there's no penalty that you have to pay karim v'chaymish. You have to bring asham me'ilos. There's no me'ila by kachim kalim. But l'chatchila, there certainly is an iser. You're not allowed to get an or from it. So that's what the word chag means in that pasuk, that kishem shachal shem shamayim ala chagiga, kal chal shem shamayim ala sukkah. That's the mocker for hooked in the mitzvah by sukkah. Some Rishonim holds only hooked in the mitzvah by the schach, and the Rambam says not so. Hooked in the mitzvah even on the tvanis also. All the dinim of the psulim, there has to be gedule karka, has to be told, that only applies to the schach, that doesn't apply to the tvanis. That's why the Rosh is surprised with the Rambam. Why the Rambam says that the Chal Shem Shamayim even goes on the Tfanis. The Tfanis are not called the Sukkah. The only part that's called the Sukkah is the Schach, which is Mesach, that makes shade. Tfanis, we don't care about the shade from the Tfanis. The only thing that counts is the shade from the Schach. So that's a din of Tazav Lamanos. I remember I have 9 children, so one of my daughters got married in Yerushalayim. She went to Eretz Yisrael in between high school and college. She never came back. She just stayed there. She married off one of her children. She lives in Eretz Yisrael. So I remember that sukkah. She got married in between Yom Kippur and sukkah. That sukkah was pouring. It was windy. So a lot of people had a sukkah on the merpeset on the fifth floor, and they didn't tie down the schach. It's never windy. It's never summertime. Sukkah is summertime. So the wind caused it. The schach fell off from the sukkahs that were on the ground level, and the schach from the fifth floor fell exactly on top of the sukkah that was on the ground. So that's literally tasav lemenasa. I put the schach on that sukkah, and now the wind blew it on this sukkah. So we are makel in Shulchan Aruch, the smachloikas. If you have a roof, let's say in the conservative temple, if they built the sukkah in the building, which is no good, and then they remove the roof, so that doesn't help. You have to put the schach on when it's good, when it's clear above, when there's no roof on top. But what's a din? I put the schach on top of the sukkah when there's no roof over there, and then it starts to rain, so I put the roof down. Then I take the roof up again. When it stops raining, I open up the roof again. So is that now tasu leman? Also, so that's a machlekes in the Mordechai. And the common psak and Shulchan Aruch is that we're makel on that. There are some Rishonim who are machmer, that's tasav lemanasa. The other Rishonim say, no, since Trilas Anochas Haschach was behechshir, when I first put the schach, the roof was not on. It was, the schach was under the sky. So even I put a roof on and I removed it later on, that's not tasav lemanasa. Yeah, so some Rabbanim thought that this is the same. Since Trilas Anochas Haschach on the fifth floor, and that sukkah, Tchilas Anoch HaSchach, was good, even though later on the wind blew it on top of a different sukkah, that's good because Tchilas Anoch HaSchach was behechsh. I thought that was absolutely a joke. That's mamash absurd deraisa. What has this sukkah got to do with that sukkah? This sukkah was kosher, and that sukkah was possible. The wind blows it on. That's literally Tasev Elayim in Ha'asai. So that's what the post can point out. You should be careful when you put the schach on initially, that the schlach should be up, the roof should be up, and that even if later on you close the roof when it's raining and then you open it up again, we pass on the Shulchan Aruch lahakim. If a person wants to be machmir, there is such an opinion in the Mordechai, there was such an opinion, we don't pass like that. One wants to be machmir, all you have to do is, it's a tircha, you have to pick up each piece of schach at tefach and put it down again. So that's a new hanocha and all the schach.
One tefach.
Three tefachim is lovet if you have something here and here within three tefachim. Here it's lovet to where it was before. That's not called lovet. If I'm going to pick it up, one tefach. It used to be here. I pick it up. What do you say? It's lovet to where it used to be. There is no such din. Lovet where it used to be. In Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah talks about the din. The Rabbi Yosef Kara writes in the Shulchan Aruch that you really shouldn't. They made a gzera. The Rishonim made their own gzera. It doesn't say in the Gemara anywhere. Made a gzera. You shouldn't use canvas walls. You shouldn't use cloth for the walls because you're going to have to tie it down in such a way that the wind shouldn't blow it. And it may get untied, and you may not tie it down well. So it may turn out that that the wind will be blowing the tfanis, and that's called doifen is on the roof. It's chol alamed b'fnei ruach mitzuya. But if the wind is going to blow it, then it's no good. Yeah, but even if you have wooden boards, the wind can blow the tfanis a little bit. So a little bit, buildings that are brick buildings don't shake. Sometimes if you have an earthquake, it will shake. But normally, that's a real shame to you. But normally they don't shake. But if you have wooden boards, it will shake a little bit. So the Paschim assume a little bit shaking doesn't matter. Only if it's serious. So they quote, the Chazon Ish was very mekel on this. The Chazon Ish has his own style of writing. Whenever something is against all the classical poskim, so he'll write, Mistim is Dibra poskim mashma, and he says what he wants, against everybody. Because the others don't have any raya. So he says, if you have a doifen, let's say you have a canvas wall, you have a canvas wall, the tfanis don't have to be gidule karka, you can use bricks also for tfanis. So if you have a canvas wall and it's tied down in such a way that even if the wind blows, the wind is going to bellow it, going to blow out like this, or it's going to blow in like this, whatever, but it's always going to be within 3 tvachim to the ground. As much as the blow is going to be. So he says, even though the wind is blowing the walls back and forth, but it's 10 tvachim tall, and it's directly below the schach, so he says, gudachit mechitzta, the mechitzta goes up, it bumps into the schach. And it's within 3 tvachim to the ground, so it's good. That's why in the Israeli army, they rely on that Chazon Ish. Sometimes they come to a location late, Erev Shabbos in the afternoon, have to make an Erev because they're going to have to carry. So they have no time to make an Erev. So they have gigantic nets that unfortunately they need to trap terrorists. Sometimes they trap them with nets. So someone runs around the trees and the outskirts of the holy area they want to carry. And they put these gigantic nets on the side of the trees, and the wind will blow on Shabbos, blow this way, blow that way. The net is lovud, everything is lovud, and even if the wind is going to blow it like this, it's still going to be touching the ground. It's still going to be touching. It's a very big net, so still it's going to be 10 tvachim. It's going to be touching the ground. So the Chazon Ish holds that that's good. All the classical poskim assume that. The Mishnah Berurah quotes classical poskim assume that it's not acceptable. The Mishnah says achilos haroi chutz nesuka is mutter, only achilos keva. But the Mishnah Berurah has a chumrah. He thinks that this is pasha pshat in Gemara. Years ago, many people didn't make their own sukkah, so the shul used to have a sukkah. They used to make kiddush in the shul, they used to say hamaitzi in the shul, and then they would have in mind they're going to continue eating at home the rest of the meal. So the Mishnah Berurah says that that's not permissible. If you didn't bench yet, let's say you have a sukkah in your backyard, so you're going to walk in sometimes into the kitchen to bring some food out into your sukkah. So if you walk into the kitchen, you want to have a drink of water, you want to have a drink of soda or something, he says you can't drink soda or water in the house if it's in the middle of a meal. You're in the middle of a meal. Even the water alone is achilas haroi. It's not achilas keva. But water in the middle of a sudas keva is called part of achilas keva. So he thinks that that's a problem. So that was a common practice years ago. The people would make their own sukkah. Now the people are much more learned than they used to be. Remember that time that I stayed by my parents in Borough Park, we saw a lot of people had an Erev to permit them to carry in their backyard from their apartment into the sukkah. 95% of their roofing were not made properly. They didn't know how to make a Tzuras HaPesach. Now it's Achsha Dora. Now they have different organizations, different committees. They just call someone up and they'll come and check it free of charge, and they'll tell you whether the area is good or not good. Years ago, the camps and all the hotels that had Eruv and that were not really valid, they didn't know the first thing about how to make an Eruv. They remembered something vaguely from Europe. They weren't really kosher Eruv. Now it's much better than it used to be. The Rambam writes a Chiddush. From the Rambam would appear that you always recite Kiddush on Shabbos and Yontif in a sitting position. Kiddush Mamakim Suda, and the purpose of the Kiddush is to be kaveh the Suda, as Suda Shabbos as Suda Yontif. That's why Ein Kiddush Ela Mamakim Suda. So the Rambam says the exception to the rule, the one exception to the rule is Sukkos, because you're going to say a bracha Leishe Basukkah, and the Rambam understands Leishe. Sounds like he translates the word Leishe means to sit in the Sukkah. So you want to say the bracha Evelasi Yosam, and Leishe Basukkah comes at the end of the Kiddush, not in the beginning. So so you have to stand the whole time when you say the Kiddush so that you'll be able to sit down after you say the bracha Leishe Basukkah. So the Rosh quotes this Rambam and he sort of makes fun. It says, Vateshva b'kodesh yomim rabim. They sat in Kodesh. They didn't sit. They stayed in the city Kodesh. Vateshva means lehisakev. Leishe Basukkah means lehisakev basukkah. If you're standing in the sukkah, you're also yotze the mitzvah. You should. That anybody, the Rama never insists you have to say the bracha leishe basukkah if you walk in, before you walk into the sukkah. When you walk in, you can say the bracha. It's not called lachem asi osam. So you can sit down also. You can sit down and say the kiddush also. So that's many people have the practice. They sit for kiddush all year long, and they sit for kiddush on sukkahs as well. They don't follow this Rama. But for the Rama is mashma. That every Shabbos and Yom Tov he says Kiddush in a sitting position, except for Hillel Sukkahs because of the Leishev. And we don't hold from that. The Rosh said, we don't hold from that Leishev Asukkah. The Mishnah tells Machlekes HaTanoim between Beshameh and Mesil in a few different places, what is the age of a Kotan Shehigia L'chinuch? There is no specific, there's no fixed age for all mitzvahs. Every mitzvah, there's a different zman for a chinuch. So when the, according to Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel's opinion is, when the child, katan hadel lehisatef, when the child is old enough to know how to do atifa properly, so then that's the age of chinuch. Let's say katan hadel enanea, even though ninua halulav is not miakev, but the chi of chinuch for the children only begins when the child knows how to do the mitzvah bishleimusa, knows how to, and he's able to do it. A lot of times, when we have little children, they wanted to shake a little. The hasrig was so heavy, they couldn't even pick it up. So, am I mechuyev to help him pick up the hasrig? He can't pick up the hasrig on his own. There's no chi of chinuch. He has to be old enough to be able to do the mitzvah bishleimusa. That's how he passed like Beis Hillel. Bishama is saying, no, even before that age. So there's a Mishnah in Sukkah that records this machloek as Bisham and Beis Hillel. So Shammai HaZaken had a daughter-in-law who had a baby, and the simple reading in the Mishnah, she just had a baby a week before Sukkot, so she was going to sleep in the house. The houses weren't so not like our houses. So they took off the roof from the house. In South Africa, the natives live in huts all year long. So it looks like Beis Shammai's daughter-in-law lived in such a little hut. So he took off the roof. That's a simple pshat in the Mishnah. So the Mefarshim say that's ridiculous. The baby is a mesasig. He doesn't. He won't. The baby is an infant. He's less than a month old. He won't even be able to tell his brothers or his sisters the experience that he had. He didn't. He doesn't see anything. Doesn't understand anything. How can they Shammai hold? How can Shammai's opinion be that that's a chiyuv chinuch? So on that, if you look in the big Mishnayah, so they tell you on the side of the page, look in the Maharshal. But the Mashal is not on Sukkah. The Mashal is in the first perek in Yevamos. The end of the first perek in Yevamos, the Gemara has a machlokes whether also b'shama k'divrei b'shama were advoted. So that means yochid v'rab malachik k'rabim. So the rest of the kehillas, everybody should follow Beis Hillel. What about Beis Shammai? They themselves had to follow Beis Hillel's opinion because they were outvoted. They say no. They follow the Rebbe's opinion. They follow everything. So the Gemara comes to the Maskana, also Beshameh Kedivim. Beshameh followed their opinion. for the rest of the world, who are neither Talmidim HaBeshama, nor Talmidim HaBeisilo, so then you say Acharam Lahatas. So in that sugya, the Gemara quotes that Mishnah, what Shammai HaZokin did. So on that Gemara in Yevam is the end of the first parak. There's a marshal on the bottom of the marshal, where he's medayik, that the Mishnah says, the Mishnah Sukkah says, that Shammai HaZokin's daughter-in-law had a baby. Piches has a maziv, and v'pnei koton, doesn't say v'pnei ha-koton, v'pnei ha-tinuk. It doesn't say because of the baby. No, she had a six-year-old baby. She had a baby who was only a month old, and the baby was going to sleep in the house. And there's no, Shammai not going to say there's chinuch on a month-old baby. But there's an older child who, according to Beis Hillel, was patur min hasukkah because he was mitztayer, because if he would wake up in the middle of the night, he's not going to go back to sleep. He's going to scream, mommy, mommy, and he's going to wake up the mother. So that's mitztayer patur min hasukkah. So Pichas says, amaziva, Shammai hasukkah was machmur more than Beis Hillel when the shir chinuch, when the din of chinuch begins. But not for the infant, not for the baby who doesn't know what's going on. That's the Maharshal. So those who learn Mishnayos, no, on the side of the page in the big Mishnayos, that's dumb good to know. On Ketzah Mevorchim also, you have things in the Mishnayos that you don't have in the Gemara. You have Tosfos Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega has comments on the Mishnayos that he doesn't have on the Gemara. So a lot of them are very valuable. Then you have on the side of the page, you have other Mefarshim there. A lot of fascinating things that they have on the side of the page in the Mishnah that it's kedai to look at. Just a few words about Dalad Minim. The pasuk says Alakach Nalchem Bayom Arishon. It only applies the first day. We live in Chutz Lord, so we have a Sveika Diyama. So we have the second day is Sveika Diyama of the first day. Then it says Smachtim Alafnei Hashem Alkech Mishiv As Yamim. So the Torah Shabbal Peh understands. Vesmachtim lefnei Hashem alakecha means b'amigdosh. Lulav nitol b'amigdosh kol shiva. In the Beis HaMigdosh, there's a mitzvah to shake a lulav min ha-Torah all 7 days. That's vesmachtim lefnei Hashem alakecha shiva asyamim. Tosis opinion is, and then the Mishnah says, that after the Churban HaBayis, it is no longer, this mitzvah is no longer applicable. Lulav nitol b'amigdosh kol shiva is only in the Migdosh. We don't have a Migdosh anymore. So Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai was the head of the Sanhedrin for 40 years. Gemara says he lived to the age of 120. The first 40 years he worked for a living and he retired at the age of 40. You hear? Retired at the age of 40. I couldn't retire. It must have been a multimillionaire. How could he retire at 40? He lived to 120. So he had so much pension, so much money saved up. I don't know. And then the next 40 years he learned till the age of 80. And then at the age of 80, he was the biggest Talmid Chacham, so they made him the chief rabbi till the age of 120. So during his presidency, when he was the chief rabbi for 40 years, he and his bezin made 9 takanas. Several of them had to do with the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Part of his 40 years was before the Churban HaBayis, part was after the Churban HaBayis. Gemara is not sure how much of the last 40 years was during the Bayis and after the Bayis. So he made a takana that the mitzvah of lulav kol shiva shouldn't be forgotten, that we should shake a lulav kol shiva. But that's only Midirabon. And I tell it's only Lulav Nitol Bamigdosh Kol Shiva. Bamedina is only Yom Echa. So we usually have a Sveika de Yoima. Yeah, so we. Tosis points out, Tosis' opinion is that whenever Lulav is that, whenever Dalad Minim is Daraisa, then you need Shalachem, and you need that it should be. Lekicha tama. Let's say if somebody cut out, you took a knife and you cut out part of the esrig, so it's chaser, so that's a violation. Ulekachtem, ulekachtor lekicha tama. Tof mem at the end. Ulekachtem means lekicha tama shouldn't be chaser. So Tosis says that whenever the mitzvah of lulav is deraisa, then you need shalachem, and then you need lishabi lekicha tama shouldn't be chaser. Whenever it's only the rabbanon. So then you're not worried about the Shalachem, you're not worried about the Lekichatam. The Ramban and the Melchamas disagrees with Tosis. He says that Lulav Kol Shiva Bamigdosh is a mitzvah of Esmachtem. That's not the mitzvah Ula Kachtem. So he thinks that you don't need Shalachem. You don't need Shalachem all 7 days of Sukkot and the Migdosh, even though it's their Isa. But according to Tosis, you do. So now it's a common practice when you go to the, if you go visit the Kosel, you already daven in the morning, and bite the gum, wherever. in Tel Aviv, and then you drive to visit the Kotel Maravi, so there'll be a good Samaritan there who will ask you, do you want to have a chalamayit? They'll ask you, do you want a matana manas la'achzer to shake a lulav? What do you need a matana manas la'achzer? You don't need shalachem and chalamayit. The answer is, according to Tosfos, in each shalachem, whenever the mitzvah is deraisa, and the author of the Orach Laner, Rabbi Yankov Ettlinger, he was a rabbi in Germany, he's the one who gave smicha to Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch, he gave smicha to Rabbi Amnossen Adler, who was not Amnossen Adler, the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer, he was earlier. He gave smicha to Rabbi Nathan Adler, who was same as Rabbi Hirsch, around the same time. He was the chief rabbi of England. He lived in London. So the first sefer that he wrote is called Bikur Yaakov. It's on Hilchas Sukkah and Dalet Ninim. Mishnah Berurah quotes it every page from the Bikur Yaakov. He quotes all the Achronim. He has a lot. So he has this. Imagine they weren't even dreaming of Hakamas HaMedina, of the Jews coming back to Kotel HaMaravi. So he has this chiddush. He puts together two Ramams and he comes up with a chiddush. The Ramam and the Pirush HaMishnayis quotes a Yerushalmi. That when it says Lulav Nito Bamigdosh Kol Shiva, it refers to the whole Yer Atika. It doesn't only refer to the Mokam Amigdosh, the whole Yer Atika. In the Mishnah Torah, he doesn't write that. In the Pirush HaMishnayis, he quotes that, and it's based on the Yerushalmi. Then the Ramam in the Mishnah Torah paskins that Kedushas Hamigdosh was Kitchel Osi Lovay. So if you put together two and two, it comes out that if you're in the Yer Atika, you're not in the Mokam HaMigdash, you're Atika, the whole in front of the Kotel HaMaravi. Because Maravi is the Kotel of the Harabais. So if the Yer Atika, there's a Chiyah Ben HaTorah to shake a lulav. Wow, it's a big Chiddush. But because not everybody agrees with either Rambam, the Rambam himself doesn't agree with what he wrote in the Pirush HaMishnayis. In the Mishnah Torah, he doesn't quote that Yerushalmi, that lulav nita b'amigdash kol shiva refers to the whole Yer Atika. And the other Ramam that you say Kitchel Osi Lova on Yerushalayim, the Rabbi disagrees with that. So the both Ramams are questionable, but that's what the Bikur Yaakov came up with that Chiddush. So that's why someone will offer you, do you want to have a lulav matan l'as l'achzer chalamoy? Because according to Tosfos, whenever lulav is deraisa, whenever daleminim is deraisa, you need shalachem and chaser is not acceptable. So that's why they'll offer you, do you want a matan l'as l'achzer? They satisfy the Shita Satosa. But the Ramban holds that there are two different mitzvahs. In Migdush Kol Shiva, it's a mitzvah of Ismachtim. It's not a mitzvah of Ulakachtim. Ulakachtim Lachem, you need Shalachem on the first day of Sukkot. The rest of Sukkot, even if it's the rice in Migdush, you don't need Shalachem. It's a different mitzvah of Ismachtim. That's the Ramban, and the Melcham is disagreeing with the Bali HaTosfos. So remember, when I was a student in high school, Rabbi Gerelik was telling us that when the Rav Velvel Soloveitchik was talking about this in Europe, no one was dreaming of ever seeing the Kotel HaMaravi. Then afterwards, that Hakamas HaMedina and the Mechamet Sheshet HaYamim, and everybody goes to visit the Kotel HaMaravi. So he said, yes, Rav Velvel, what about the first day? The first day Sukkot is the mitzvah to shake a lulav all over the world. Means the mitzvah of the smachtem is the remaining 6 days, or is the mitzvah on the first day also? Even though I read it was yotzei, I read daven shachris and bayit v'gan, not in the Yer Atika. I read daven shachris and bayit v'gan. Then I go to visit the Kotel HaMaravi. Is there a mitzvah on the first day also? The shake lulav again a second time? What do you say? No. The remaining days you need. So he says, Rav Avila was thinking. He said, it's a good teshaita, he doesn't know the answer. It's a good shaita. That's what he always used to say. He never would paskin anything. Never would take a stand on anything that's halacha ma'aseh nidah. But he says, Rabbi Gerelik pointed out, it was the furthest thing from their minds that they'll ever see during their lifetime, the Kotel HaMaravi, and they're sitting in Europe and thinking, what's the din if you're already davened in a different place rather the first day? Interesting. So we have Dalet Minim, many Chassidim are makbid based on the Zohar that they have to have davka, a green esrog, because the Zohar talks about an esrog hayorek. The Mishkan is Yanke was one of the early Talmidim of Rab Chaim Valojan of Valojan Yeshiva, and he was Rab Yanke Le Karlina, he was the Rabbi in Karlin, where they had stolen a Chassidim, Karlin. Kalin and Stalin, I think, are twin cities. If you walk 5 minutes, like Bergenfield and Teaneck, you walk 5 minutes, you walk to the other side of the street, it's going to be Teaneck. This side of the street is Bergenfield. So he dealt a lot, Rabbi Yankel Kalin and Mishkan, he dealt a lot with the Chassidim. So he has quite a few tshuvas where he explains that he doesn't say explicitly why he's writing the tshuva, but that's what he's writing about, why the Chassidim are doing everything wrong. So he said, this is a mistake. The word yorok in Hebrew means yellow or brown. It doesn't mean green. Yorek kikarsi means green. And an esrog that's yorek, that's green, is puzzle. And he thinks even if it's beginning to turn yellow, and maybe by the end of Sukkot it'll be yellow, but right now it's green, dark green. He said that's absolutely possible. It's based on the Gemara. There's a lot of tshuvas where he wrote disagreeing with the Hasidic practices. The Gemara says that the Hadassim and the Aravos have to be 3 tochim tall, and the lulav has to be an extra tefa kadei lananeya. The Rishonim say ninua midag be nafek be. The Gemara says pick up the lulav even if you didn't do nanuim, but lachatchila we consider only a mitzvah b'shalim musa if you do ninuim. So you see that from this Gemara also, since you need an extra tefa kadeila nanaya, they see that the mitzvah b'shalim musa is with nanuim. If you didn't do the nanuim, so you only yotze b'riyevin. This extra tefach has to be the shedra of the lulav. On the bottom, all the leaves are stuck together, like glued together. Then when you get to the top, they're all separate. So there's a point a few inches down from the top where it's 4 or 5 inches down. You have to take a look at the lulav, where everything is still together, and then everything separates. So you have to have, the hadassim and the arabi should be a minimum of 3 tochim tall. But if it's 6 tochim tall, so then the lulav, the shedra of the lulav has to be bolate a tefach above the hadassim and arav. So if you have very tall hadassim, you better cut off the bottom, because it's going to be six tochim tall. You're not going to have a lulav that's tall enough. Well, the lulav is going to be very heavy. The taller the lulav is, it's going to be heavier. It's going to be harder to carry. You have to have the shedra of the lulav should be bolate a tefach of the shedra before it separates to become a separate alim. A tefach of the shedra has to be above the hadassim and aravos. Then they quote from Rashi, Sefer Pardes, that the hadassim should be slightly higher than the aravos. Usually the aravos are taller. And Rashi says, if you have them together and the aravos are higher than the hadassim, you're not yotze the mitzvah. So that nobody understands. How can you say you're not yotze the mitzvah? For what good reason are you not yotze? So they guess, they give reasons, they're not sure. But Rashi says you're not yotze, so at least lachatchila you should be careful. So usually the aravos are much taller than the hadassim, so you should cut the bottom of the aravos off. So the hadassim should be slightly higher. Then the aravos, the way to remember which one should be higher, so they give you in Shulchan Aruch, hadassim look like eyes and aravos look like lips. So the eyes are above the lips. So the hadassim should be higher up. The top of the hadassim should be higher up. That's when it says Shulchan Aruch. Should be higher up than aravos. And the shedra of the lulav should be boleit a tefach above the hadassim on top. The hadassim have to be mishuloshim. That's always a big problem. So the din is for a ruba kukula, if a roiv of the hodos is mishulosh, even though the miut is not mishulosh, it's still good. Then they quote from the Bahag that the hadassim shouldn't be too gigantic. Sometimes the hadassim are very big, so they say if it's bigger than the thumbnail, according to the Bahag, that's possible. So you got to make sure it's not too big. The Mishnah has a din if you have hodosh anova merubim me'alov. You have berries growing out of hodosh. You have more berries than you have leaves. So that's possible. So usually by the time they sell you the hadassim, they already pulled off the berries. It's kosher. If they pulled it off, it's kosher. The Mishnah says so. But if you're interested in knowing what it looks like, so you have to go to the people that sell the dalaminim, ask them to save one of the hadassim that has berries on it. Nice to know what it looks like, because the Mishnah talks about the din. The minig is, it's not miyakev, that when you hold the lulav, you hold the lulav, so you have the shedra facing you, because we treat the lulav as if it represents the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Reisas Acharei, Lefanei Lo Yirom. So we should look at the shedra, that's Acharei. We don't have it the other way. But yeah, but if you hold the other way, you also get it. The classical poskim, the Magen Avraham quotes, and all the poskim after him, they say that in Esrog HaMurkov, a lot of times the Esrog trees are not so strong. So in order to make it grow better, so they'll be markiv the Esrog, they'll breed it together with a tree that doesn't have any fruit. A tree that doesn't have any fruit. Because it'll make the Esrog grow stronger. So the poskim say that that's not acceptable for two reasons. So some say because it's the wrong min. So if it's only the wrong min, so if if you're grafting it to a tree that doesn't have any fruits at all, then it's not going to be the wrong min. But other poskim say it's no good because mitzvah bo ba'avera, because harkavas ilanis is prohibited even for the nochrim. The nochrim used to do the harkava. That's the original psul, the original achrayim who said that esrog hamurkav is no good. He said because it's mitzvah bo ba'avera. And even though the goyim only have seven mitzvahs b'nei noach, so they say, but this is a din. It's not from the seven mitzvahs, but this, the Rambam and the Shach and the Yeridei quotes that b'nei noach hamuzah not to do harkavas ilonis. And the Beis Ephraim is a whole tshuva. He thinks that that's a joke. It's not mitzvah b'ma'avera. If you know the sugya mitzvah b'ma'avera, shouldn't be an example at all. The Israeli government said many years ago that they know how many Esrogim and Eretz Yisrael are built in Murkovim, and the number of Esrogim that they sell in Chutz Lores that they say, they built in Murkovim, is way off. They're selling five times as many Esrogim they built in Murkovim than it exists. There aren't so many they built the Esrogim, built in Murkovim and Eretz Yisrael. That's not right. There is a machlokes hatanaim whether lulav tzorech eged or not. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that if you didn't do the eged to tie together the hadasim and the rovus and the lulav, then you're not yotzei the mitzvah. We don't accept that sheet that we pass in lulav and tzorech eged. But l'chatchila, the Gemara says it's a mitzvah. Zekele ma'aveir. It's not the fun of a mitzvah. It's a noye mitzvah to have lulav tzorech eged. So there's a Rashi in towards the second half of Sukkah where Rashi says, just like according to the Chachamim, lulav tzorech eged means you need a kesher agabi kesher, not just to wrap it around and to tuck it in. So even according to Rabbi Yehuda, even according to the Chachamim, that lulav ain't a tzorech eged, but l'chatchili needed eged, it's not enough just to wrap it around and tuck it in. You have to have a real kesher agabi kesher. So who makes a kesher agabi kesher? So the Mishnah Bura quotes some obscure achron that we never heard of, a gurba alecha. I think he only quotes him here. The Mishnah Berurah says in the Hakdamah to his Sefer that he's only worked with the Svarim that are written on the page. Magen Avraham and the Taz and the Machzor Shekel and the Prima Godim and the Chemed Moshe and the Svarim on the page. Or whatever Achronim I quoted, there's a little Sefer called Pischei Tshuva. Whatever Achronim quoted Pischei Tshuva. So whatever the Pischei Tshuva quote, that's what he'll quote. They quote says Agur Bahalecha. He didn't sit and read. They didn't sit and read all of these Svarim. They use whatever Marmakamas are there in the little Sefer, the Pischei Tshuva. So he quotes the Sefer Agur Ba'alecha, I think, that if you have this woven keshikel, the little container that you stick in the Hadassim and the Arabis and the Lul in the middle, that's considered a keshel gabi keshe, because it's full of knots. The whole thing is all full of knots. So that's what we rely on. Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't use that, because the Gemara has a din. If the din would be like Rabbi Yehuda, the Lul of Tzorech Eged, so then the Gemara says you wouldn't be able to use a keshikol because it's tasav lamen osay, because it's full of knots before you put in the lulav hadasim and aravos. You have to hold the lulav hadasim and aravos and then make a knot around it. So even if you did that, let's say, then you want to keep the lulav fresh. So you take the lulav out, you put it in a pot of water, and then you put it back in tomorrow morning. So that's tasav lamen osay. The Gemara says tasav lamen osay applies to the eged according to Rabbi Yehuda. So Rav Soloveitchik got a chumrah, and the Svarim, nobody has this. There's a fantastic sefer called Chaim Avrochon and Mishmer Rishalom. The author wrote a sefer, Mishmer Rishalom, which is a commentary on the Prima Godim on Yerideya. today people don't even read the Prima Gaudium, so you don't need the commentary on the Prima Gaudium. Prima Gaudium is fantastic, though. So the same author who wrote the Mishmer Shalom, which is the Chibur on the Prima Gaudium on Yeridei, wrote two Svarim, both called Chaim Evrochel and Mishmer Shalom. One of them has all of Hilchas Havelos alphabetically arranged. He has every Rish and every Achron that was known of 100 years ago. Now they have more Rishonim on Sukkah that they never had. It was only a manuscript then. He has every Rishon that was available then. And then he has a Chaim Evrochel and Mishmer Shalom on Hilchas Havelos, everything arranged alphabetically. When you get in Hilchas Dalad Nin, you get to the last page, Tasav Lamanasa starts with a Tav. So Tasav Lamanasa, nobody holds like Rav Soloveitchik. Nobody holds. Rashi says, even though we pass Lulav and Zorcheg, but Lachatchilim, you're an Eged, so Lachatchilim should be a Kesher, Gabi Kesher, should be a Kesher Gom. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, whatever is Ma'akav, according to Rav Yehuda, Vayasa is Lachatchilim. So he thought that Tasav Lamanasa is also. Lachatchila, he shouldn't do Tasa on the Manasa. So he wouldn't use a Keshigal, because if he uses a Keshigal, the Kesher is already there. So he would just take the Lulav Hadassah on Rav is tied around, and then he wouldn't take out the Lulav. We always put the Hadassah on the Rav, so wrap it up, put it in the refrigerator to preserve it. He put the Lulav in a pot of water. So whenever he would take it out, he would have to tie the Kesher all over again. So he wouldn't do that. There's a big chumra that the din of Tasa Lemanasa applies on the Lachatchila, on the Kesher. None of the Achronim hold like that. The Rishonim on Sukkah have a Machlaikas, an interesting Machlaikas, where they need Shalachem on the second day of Sukkahs. Yontav Sheni Shal Golias. Why not? Hasveka Diyama of the first day. Whatever's on the first day, you have a Nisim Halacha, then why shouldn't you say that you need Shalachem? The rest of the days of Sukkah is only with the Rabbanus, you don't need Shalachem. But the second day is the Sveka Diyama for the first day. So the Rishonim don't explain what this Svara is. Why shouldn't it apply? So Rav Soloveitchik had a very snazzy pshat. I think it's a very cute pshat. It's probably the truth. He said, Bishachar Beis HaMikdash Hizkar Abdechem HaZakah. Abdechem HaZakah was a chief rabbi for 40 years. After the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, he made a takonah that they should shake a lulav kol shiva. When was the fixed calendar established? During the lifetime of Abai Verovit. That was way later, centuries later. So there was no need to make a takana of Yom Tov Sheni. Then when they fixed the calendar, so the Adar Shaila should be still, all the Jews in Chutzlot should be still observe Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golus, because there's no longer any Sveka D'Yom. The Gemara says in the beginning of Beitza, Shalch Meitam sent a message from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, yes, Yisrael ben Minig Avasech Minich, and she still continued to observe Yom Tov Sheni. But there was no need for takanas Yom Tov Sheni for the purpose of shaking the lulav on the second day, because you shake the lulav anyway the second day, shaking the lulav called Shiva. So they should make a takani, you should shake the lulav as a svek of the yomah of the first day, that you should need shalachem. You're shaking the lulav anyway, so it won't be shalachem. So he thought that was perhaps the reason why those Rishonim, half of the Rishonim held, that you don't need shalachem on the second day, this svek of the yomah on the second day, sukkahs for isa malacha, what you daven and musaf, other things. But not for the purpose of lulav, because lulav anyway you shake. So there was no need to make a takana to be mechayim on lulav on the second day. Whatever it is, we don't paskin like that. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Bikur Yankov, who points out that even on machla in the Rishonim it's a machlekes, but in the Shulchan Aruch it says beferish that you need shalachem and chaser pasels on the second day. In other words, that we paskin that you do need, that you do have sveka diyema. All the psulim on the first day apply on the second day. Like this year, first day Sukkot is Shabbos, so all you have is the second day. So some people say, so you can get an esrog achaser, chaser is kosher called shiva, and then don't speak of the yema on lulav. So that's not the accept there is such an opinion. That's not the accepted opinion. Mishnah Berurah points out from the Bikur Yangim, and Shulchan Aruch says b'feirush in the Mechaber that there is a din of speak of the yema, that the second day you need shalachem, and the second day chaser would be possible. There is a famous discussion if shalachem derabbanon is acceptable when you need shalachem on the level of the rice. let's say Yeshiva learned Gittin last year, so Daf Yud Gimel and Gittin is a takana, is a kinyan of the Rabbanon and Maimon Shloshtim. So let's say the Chosam was nervous and he's afraid he's going to forget to bring the wedding ring. So he asked his best friend. He trusted him. He's not nervous. He said, you bring the ring to the wedding. Comes to the wedding. The best friend came in from out of town. He forgot to bring the ring. So what do? So he can stand under the chuppah and the Chosam can say, Rehem HaKodesh HaSliv HaTabas, that my best friend left at home. He can't put it on our finger. He left it at home or somewhere else. And the Galus kind of the ring with my Mishloshtan. Because he's the Shomer of the Pikudim, the best friend, and they're all three standing together. So that's a Takana D'Rabbana Mayim Shlosh. So that's a famous Machlokes. Is she kind of the ring Ben HaTorah? Because Hefker Bezna Hefker, or maybe Hefker Bezna Hefker is only good LaHafker to declare something Hefker. Maybe to declare that it's a Bailus. Maybe that's only Hefker Bezna Hefker Mid Rabbana. Maybe it's not Ben HaTorah. So the Beis Yosef quotes one of the Rishonim. I think the Rabbi Yerucham, I forgot about it, quotes one Rishonim has that she's only an Eishes Ishma de Rabbanon if the Chosam was Makna the ring to the Kala with the Kinyan de Rabbanon, and the Beis Yosef thinks that it works Menatur, and the Ksais thinks that the Beis Yosef is right, and the Nesivis thinks that the Rabbi Yerucham is right. Every Rishon is involved in it. So you look in Dibri Yecheskel was a Magid Shir in Slabotke, he has a whole essay, he shows that every single Rishon is involved in this. So that's the shaila on the first day sukkahs. If you only kind of with hagbor, I never made a kinyan and before sukkahs. They give me hadasim and I'm kind of hagbor. So hagbor is only a kinyan with the rabbanon. Minatora most kind of. So when you pay for it, you kind of minatora. So that's a discussion on the first. On the second day this year there is no first day. First day is Shabbos. So the second day is only with the rabbanon. So kinyan with the rabbanon is good for the rabbanon. That's for sure. But on the first day, if the first day wouldn't be Shabbos, that would be a shaila whether it's good. If you let's say I didn't pay for the esrog yet, but I took it home in my automobile. So my automobile is a kinyan chotzer. Or if I take it to my house, so my house I'm kind of with a kinyan chotzer. Kinyan chotzer is a kinyan min haTorah. But if you just make a hagbah or meshicha, so hagbah meshicha is only midi rabbon. So that's a famous machlokes. But yaran chotzer, that's good min haTorah. These are some of the more obvious dinim, a lot of detailed dinim, that we'll do some other time. Avreilu Chanyantev, everybody. Okay?